Chapter 27 this morning, Genesis 27. Now, some of you, or most of you, or all of you, will have not heard of Ferdinand Waldo Demara, who, to those who knew him, he was Fred. But he was one of the greatest imposters in recent history. He ran away from home and began to assume many different identities. For a while, he pretended to be a monk until he was kicked out, joined the army, then he deserted. He then assumed the identity of Dr. French and became a doctor of psychology at not one, but two colleges, and published a pamphlet on raising children. I'm not sure if it's still in publication, but he also became a civil engineer, a lawyer, and an assistant sheriff, among other things. Perhaps his most famous exploit, though, is with no training, he ended up joining the Canadian Navy as Dr. Joseph Sear, a naval surgeon aboard a ship during the Korean War in the 1950s. During that time, with no training, he served aboard the ship and performed many successful surgeries, saving many soldiers' lives. Now, they were going to award him a medal for his work until they discovered his true identity. And so he finally ended up as a chaplain at a hospital. And even when they found out he wasn't really a chaplain, they loved him so much that they kept him there until his death. Now, he never got away with it. He was always caught and always forced him to live a lonely life of wandering. Imagine what such a talented person could have done if they had yielded their life to God and been honest. Now, Jacob is a clever man, but much of his life is heartache. Not because he lacks ability, but because he uses deception rather than trusting God. And it will take him a long time to realize that following the Lord is the only true way. We see him today in Genesis 27 use deceptive tactics to get what he wants, but it will be costly. And it's important for us to consider this not only in the spectrum of God's sovereignty, but also how we live out our lives in this world, because we will face trials. Some of them will be heartache because of our own making and not walking closely with the Lord and resorting to fleshly ways. But my prayer would be that we will see that it is far better to trust the Lord than to push our way through life by our own efforts. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. May we understand it, may we walk faithfully according to it, and may we walk with integrity by the power of the Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Genesis 27 says, when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son. And he answered, here I am. And he said, behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two good young goats so that I may prepare for them the delicious food that your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies. But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing. His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go bring them to me." So he went and took them and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared delicious food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth parts of his neck. And she prepared delicious food and bread, and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went in to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, to know that whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, to his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he answered, "I am." And then he said, "Bring it near to me, that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of the heaven and the fatness of the earth and the plenty of grain and wine. Let the people serve you and the nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." Now, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" And he answered, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled very violently, and he said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed." As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out a bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." And then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered him and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" And Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of the heaven on high. And by your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother in Haran, and stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereft of you both in one day? Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I loathe my life because of the Hittite women. If Jacob marries one of the Hittite women like the ones of the women of the land, what good will my life be to me? You will hear this repeatedly. I've said it before, but we have to frame this passage with Genesis 50:20. What you intended for evil, God intended for good. It is amazing how often humanity would have miserably failed. Even those that God has called to fulfill his covenant promise, yet God is sovereign and clearly the hero because he continues to use the failures of fallen sinners to accomplish his great purposes. Isaac, we're told, is old and his eyes are dim. He has difficulty seeing. And now he wants to bless Esau as his firstborn child. Now he believes that his days are numbered. You know, he probably lived about 80 years after this. So he wasn't quite right. He wants Esau to go and hunt some wild game for him so that he can eat it and bless him before he dies. He is aware of the prophetic statement made in Genesis 25 by God. Two nations are in your womb. This was to Rebekah. And two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. Isaac and Rebekah, they've played favorites. Isaac prefers Esau, Rebekah prefers Jacob. In ancient times, the blessing was given to the firstborn, and usually it was not done covertly. It was usually a public affair. And if you go to Genesis 49, you'll see that Jacob gathers everyone to bless them. Is Isaac trying to circumvent what God has planned? We don't know, but it does seem it's quite possible. And Isaac's blindness is a metaphor for his spiritual state, because he's not just physically limited in his vision, but his spiritual clarity is diminished. He's become very vulnerable to deception. His preference for Esau is clouding his judgment, and his love of Esau's game is causing his fleshly appetite to rule his decisions rather than seeking the Lord. That's why we're warned in Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Yet God, who is sovereign, will not allow his plans to be undone. And so Isaac can push against God's plans, but it is a pointless thing to do. We should really pay attention to that fact. You cannot win when you try to go against God. You can try, but guess what? It will only be a miserable experience. It is far more joyful to serve him than it is to resist him. Ephesians 5:17 says, do not be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And so there's this blessing that's about to be stolen. Isaac is trying by a deceptive means to get Esau blessed. But little does he know that Rebekah is listening in, and she's going to do whatever it takes to get what she wants. So Esau goes to hunt for game. Rebekah jumps in. And she doesn't just tell Jacob to do this. She doesn't suggest it. She exercises full parental pressure. Obey my voice. I'm commanding you to do this. Even though he has reservations, she pushes him towards an evil action to steal the blessing, saying that even let the curse fall on her. She has no problem in manipulating the circumstances to get what she wants. Yes, God has said that Jacob would be over Esau, but God never calls us to use unscrupulous means in order to accomplish his purposes. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, and those who act faithfully are his delight. So Rebekah says, I'm going to prepare the food the way your father likes it. But there is a problem. Esau's a hairy man. Jacob is not. We really read this and say, would this really work? But she puts goat skins on his arms and on his neck so that he'll be hairier and pass as Esau. Puts him in Esau's clothes. But when Jacob goes to see Isaac, he succeeds. Isaac is puzzled. You don't sound like Jacob. You don't sound like Esau, but you sure feel like Esau. The fact that this fooled Isaac shows you that it wasn't just his vision that was dimmed. Jacob is willing to go along with deception and rely on the flesh, a manipulative means to achieve his goal. It's interesting, I think, to notice that Jacob has yet to really surrender his life to God because he has not made faith his own. When Isaac says, "How did you do this so quickly?" he doesn't say, "The Lord my God has given me success." He says, "The Lord your God has given me success." It's a lie, and it shows that I don't think he really knows the Lord properly at that point. Maybe this is you today. Maybe you've stood at a distance around other people who know the Lord, and today is the day that you need to repent of your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sin, rose again. And if you have, I sure hope that you don't resort to what Jacob does here, that you deceive to get what you want. It's not how a child of God should live their life at all. Colossians 3 says, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator." Now, follow me with this, but it's quite a twist here. Isaac is going to bless what he believes is the right child, which is actually the wrong child to get the blessing. However, according to God, the wrong child for Isaac is actually the right child to get the blessing. I'm not even sure I know what I'm saying right now. So Isaac is in fact blessing the right child. Isaac's blessing is prophetic. Go to Genesis 49, look at Jacob's. It's also prophetic. Jacob is blessed with abundance. Nations would bow down. Jacob would be lord over his brothers. And that does not mean necessarily that there are more siblings involved. It can be a poetic use of the way they say it. But what we do know is that Jacob is under divine protection. Those that seek his good will be blessed, and those that seek to harm him will be under a curse. And so God's proclamation to Rebekah is fulfilled. His will is accomplished. Proverbs 16:9. "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." Now, no sooner does Jacob receive the blessing and leave when Esau comes in. Isaac is puzzled. "Why are you here? Who are you?" When Isaac learns that it is in fact Esau who, and that he has been tricked by Jacob, he trembles violently. The rage of someone who has not gotten their own way. Now, and in spite of that, God's plans come to fruition. And let's just ponder that for a moment, that sometimes our anger and frustration can be because we're pushing against God's will instead of following it. Sometimes you're angry and frustrated and you're just like, "Ah!" You should ask, "God, is it because I'm pushing against your will?" Esau learns that Jacob has come in and received the blessing of that Isaac had intended for Esau. Esau lets out a bitter cry as well because he realizes that Jacob has outsmarted him yet again. And Esau was not willing, remember, Esau was not willing to bear the mantle of responsibility of the firstborn. He rejected his birthright for a bowl of stew. The Bible says that he was godless. He marries Hittite women, which would pull him away from the Lord. and make his life miserable for his parents. He was willing to go covertly and get this blessing from Isaac, but their plans were foiled by God's sovereign purposes. It was too late. Isaac accepts it. He says, I've given the blessing to Jacob. And sometimes, I want to say this because I think sometimes we, in our modern culture, we talk about God being loving, and he is, but we don't take seriously the urgency of the gospel. There will be times when it is too late. You don't know how many days you have on this earth. And you might sit there and say, you know, one day I'm going to finally follow the Lord. But Esau comes in and he's like, I want the blessing, and it's too late. I wouldn't take that for granted. God's patience and mercy does not mean that he is afraid to act. Now is the time to turn to Christ and to serve him. Christ is coming back, and only those who have put their faith in Christ will be called to glory for all eternity. Those who do not, it's too late. Hebrews 12 tells us about Esau. See that no one is sexually immoral and unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. There comes a day when each of us will stand before a holy God, and those who have rejected Christ will perish into eternal punishment. Right now is the time to come to Jesus. Now, Esau laments that Jacob, and he says, oh, he's rightly called Jacob, because you remember, Jacob means supplanter and heel grabber. Oh, he got me all right. And ironically, it's for what Esau is named that Jacob succeeded in his deception, right? Esau's hairy. That's what it means. I'm hairy. And guess what? That's what was his undoing. Esau seeks a blessing, but he instead receives what I would call an anti-blessing, a life of conflict and difficulty. But one day his people, it says, would throw off the yoke of bondage to Israel, which was fulfilled in 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 20 to 22. It says, in the days of Edom revolted from the rule of Judah and set up a king of their own. Now Esau is so angry that he plans to murder Jacob when Isaac dies. Rebekah catches wind of this and sends Jacob away, reasoning that she has already lost so much, that she didn't want to lose any more. Now think about this. You say, wow, there doesn't seem to be any consequences when you know, because God worked it out in the end. What a foolish thing to think. There were tons of consequences here. Isaac and Rebekah shattered each other's trust. Rebekah has destroyed her relationship with Esau, Isaac with Jacob, Jacob and Esau with each other. Rebekah can take no more. She doesn't want Jacob to marry a Hittite woman and make things even worse, so she plans to send him away and escape Esau, which will have a lot of problems to come. What they intended for evil, God intended for good. And I stand amazed at how God can take the twisted family drama that I think would have made it on Jerry Springer sometimes, that unfolded here, and he uses it for his glory. Everyone suffered terribly in their relationships. There's been manipulation and lying. The consequences are far-reaching for this sinful behavior. How much better it is to simply follow God properly, enjoy the blessing of obedience of his will. And as a follower of Christ, I hope that this motivates you to do that. There is so much at stake when we live a life of deception. Titus 2 says this in verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Our only hope is to trust in Jesus. And by the way, Jesus never sinned, who never used manipulation to accomplish his will. When Satan tried to deceive, he used God's word to defeat him. Judas tried to deceive and manipulate the circumstances against him, and yet there he went to the cross according to the plan of the Father, according to his own will, and laid his life down for us. That is the way of Jesus. That is who we follow. That is how we are to live. And so in closing, I just want to say, I hope we walk with integrity. We can trust God in the big picture of things. And you know what? You can trust God that when people around you manipulate and cheat, that God is still in control. But I hope that we don't depend on manipulative ways, lies of omission, trying to manipulate others by greasing palms, currying favor, outright lies and manipulations. These things have long-term consequences for us. Do you want to live enjoying the good things of God? Walk with integrity. When you manipulate, you miss the blessings. When I was 16, I worked at a summer camp called Word of Life in Owen Sound. And one night, me and another guy decided to sneak into the kitchen in the middle of the night and eat chips. But you know what? We weren't supposed to do that. And when I was caught under interrogation, the question came up, you know, did you do this? At first, I wanted to deny, but I had to admit I did. And instead, for several weeks of the summer, instead of doing the ministry that I was there to do, I ended up working often by myself, away from what everybody else was doing, pulling weeds, doing things, backbreaking labor that wasn't that fun, while everyone else is rejoicing and having a great time and working together. And yes, in the end, I still got to serve God, but boy, was it a miserable experience of my own making. Galatians 6 says this, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Let's pray, and then I will invite the worship team to come once again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glorious reality